Whatever or whenever, I might say, a greater zeal exists for a thing or something, and it outshines the zeal for the Lord, there's a problem. If something in our life outshines our zeal for the Lord, it just really reveals a weakness in our faith, a compromised life, or a distance in that relationship with the Lord. Remember, Jesus said we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's first, and then our neighbor as ourself. But everything within us, all within us, love the Lord. He's first.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 21 with a message titled Accommodation.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because
we have been going through Acts, and we've dealt, first of all, the first number of chapters with Peter. Now it deals with Paul, and Paul is on his third missionary journey. He's ending that missionary journey, and he's on his way to Jerusalem. His great desire was to go to Jerusalem. And he had that meeting, you might say, the first pastors' leaders' conference there on the beach of Miletus with those elders there at Ephesus. Which is, I think, about 29 miles away or so, but they came down to the beach and he had this time with them, and then he's on his way to Jerusalem. And yet what we're finding is there's a repeated sense of Paul, when you get in Jerusalem, there's going to be problems. When you get in Jerusalem, there's going to be suffering. There's going to be Agabus said, your hands and your feet are going to be bound together. Paul, you're going to suffer there. And the amazing thing is, even in spite of that, you find that Paul has companions. He has friends. Oh, Lord, give us those kind of friends. And we read it in verse 15 and 16. Notice it says in verse 15, this is Acts 21. And after these days, we got ready and started on our way up to Jerusalem. And some of the disciples from Caesarea also came with us, taking us to Menson of Cyprus, a disciple of long standing whom we were lodging. So here, these disciples, these people in the faith, they hear that Paul's going to suffer. Hard times going to be in Jerusalem. What do? They say, Paul, we're going with you. We're going to go there, and if one part of the body suffers, we're going to suffer with you. I love that. I love it when you have those that'll stick with you no matter what. They say through thick and thin. Sometimes when things get thin, you kind of find that a lot of people are fair weather friends. But here, Paul is going to suffer, and these disciples, they want to go with him. The Bible tells us in Proverbs, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Oh, Lord, those are the kind of people that God is building in the body of Christ. That's the kind of person he's making you and making me. A friend for adversity, one who sticks no matter what. When you think about it, even with Jesus, remember when Lazarus was sick and Jesus delayed his going up there, and finally after 4 days, Lazarus had been dead 4 days and Jesus raised him from the dead. But when he was talking to his disciples and he said, let's go to Jerusalem because Lazarus is sick and I'm going to heal him. And then finally he said, he's dead. I'm going to raise him from the dead. But then the disciples were saying, but Lord, in Jerusalem, remember they were saying that in Jerusalem, they're going to stone you. I mean, when you go to Jerusalem, you're going to get persecuted there, and you're going to go again? And he said, well, yeah, I'm going to go because Lazarus, one that I love, is sick, and I'm going to raise him back up. And finally, with a little bit more discussion, finally, Thomas said, let us go also so that we may die with him. You know, I like that. You know, it's like, okay, whatever, Lord, we're going with you, no matter what it holds. And here, these disciples going with Peter, I like that. They're going with Peter to Jerusalem. Now, it's about 65 miles away, so that would be too long for a one-day journey. So they stop about halfway, and they stop at this fella's name. You never so much see that together. M-N-A-S-O-N, Menanson. But they're going to stay at his house. He lives probably about halfway into that journey. And they're going up to Jerusalem. Always you're going up. When you go to the temple, you're always going up to Jerusalem, especially if you're going south, you're going up. But, you know, I think in this case, I like the fact that you're always, when you're following and walking with Jesus, you're always going up spiritually. You know, it's a good thing to go with Jesus because it's always an upward trek with him and into a higher level, a higher plane with the Lord. If you have a King James Version and you find that this man, Menanson, is in the King James Version, it says an old disciple. So an old disciple. So he was an older gentleman, or he'd been with the Lord for a while. And he was from Cyprus. Remember Barnabas, the son of encouragement, was from Cyprus as well. I don't know if they knew each other in the same fellowship together, but being friends. But he welcomed them. He had that gift of hospitality, or the love of strangers. Just wanted them to come on in. But one of the things I think is noteworthy is it says in the King James, an old disciple. I think sometimes when we get older, something happens, something changes inside, hormones and dispositions and stuff. You want to be careful. The older you get, you don't get more critical. You don't get more bitter. Even in the things of the Lord, there are a lot of believers that are older, but they are bitter. You know, they have a hard edge to them. We don't want that. Lord, keep us from that as we grow old. He didn't have that. He wasn't bitter. He wasn't critical in his old age, but he was still a welcoming kind of disciple. He goes on in verse 17. Again, we're in Acts 21, if you're just tuning in. And when we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. So here again, just a receptive kind of bringing in the group there with Paul. Now, this is a double emphatic, received gladly, a double emphatic. In fact, they were welcoming. They just, in a sense, they embraced Paul and those that came to them. They loved it. But what a difference 20 years makes. Because it was 20 years earlier when Paul did go to Jerusalem, but he had a very cold visit when he went there. In fact, that first visit 20 years ago, they were all afraid of him. They didn't believe that he was a disciple. They didn't think that he was really, really saved. And so they were afraid of him. But now they put out the welcome mat. Oh yeah, we heard about Paul. He's radical for the Lord. And we pretty much love that. So they bring him in, and then verse 18 says, and now the following day, Paul went in with us to James and all the elders who were present. So James, he was the half-brother of Jesus. Remember, born of the same mother, but a different father. Jesus' father was God the Father, the Holy Spirit. Same mother, but this is the half-brother, and he's also called James the Less. James the Less. Now, he's pastor there in Jerusalem, or the chief elder, which would be the pastor there. And remember that all the brothers, the sisters, they didn't believe in Jesus when he was on the earth. He had his ministry. They just didn't believe. They basically thought he was kind of out of his mind. At one point, they wanted to take him and sequester him away, you know, because they thought he was, he had this Messiah complex, although he was the Messiah. But then after the resurrection, they believed. So James is there, and also the elders or the presbyters. The presbyters, or those men who were older and more mature, they were seniors, senior members there in the church. They proved themselves faithful. They were men of integrity, men of honor. So that's the leadership there in the church in Jerusalem. It wasn't perfect. You think, oh, what I would have loved to be part of that church. Well, you got to realize, yeah, good, very good. But we all have the same Holy Spirit. And of course, they were closer at that time to Jesus physically than we were, but they had the same Holy Spirit as we have. So I think sometimes when we want to go back and we think, oh, there's no problems there. Oh, yes, there were problems in the church there in Jerusalem. And we see this as we go on, verse 19 and 20. And after he had greeted them, he began to relate one by one the things which God had done among the Gentiles. Remember, Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. That was God's calling for him. Through his ministry, all that he'd done in the Gentile world through Paul's ministry, verse 20. And when they heard it, they began glorifying God, and they said to him, "You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law." Do you see a big difference in Paul's witness and James' witness? I do. I see a big difference. I think sometimes in our own witness, spiritual people that are perspective, they might perceptive might be able to, see that. But Paul relates the supernatural work that the Holy Spirit did, that God did among the Gentiles, and their changed lives, their radical changed lives. Now, the Jews in Jerusalem were saved. They were Christians, but I don't know if they had many Gentiles there in the church at that time. Just don't know. These Jewish Christians in Jerusalem, they were pretty much sheltered. Seems like they were pretty narrow in their Jerusalem Christianity. People can get very narrow in their belief system. I know when the Jesus movement happened and the Lord was pouring the Holy Spirit out upon the hippies. I had long hair. I was pretty much a hippie, a responsible hippie, because I had a family and a business to run. But I know in some churches, they didn't want you to come into church if you had long hair. They said, if you come to church again, cut your hair. Or if you come to church, you've got to wear a suit. You know, you can't wear just casual clothes, shorts and, a t-shirt or something. And so I think sometimes we're in those sheltered environments. We don't see the big picture of what God is doing in others. And I suspect that was true with those Christians there in Jerusalem. So Paul relates the supernatural work that God did among the Gentiles. And notice that James relates the many thousand Jews that believed are zealous for the law. Paul talks about changed lives. James talks about the law that they're zealous for. You see, whatever or whenever, I might say, a greater zeal exists for a thing or something, and it outshines the zeal for the Lord, there's a problem. Why would James talk about their zeal for the law? There's something that's not taking place in that kind of believer. They haven't come into that full sense of what Paul was talking about, what happened to the Gentiles. But you see, sometimes God will allow that. God will allow certain tradition to go on. But then God will take that tradition away. And that's what he did. And we'll talk about that in a moment, because God did take that away. But you see, if something in our life outshines our zeal for the Lord, it just really reveals a weakness in our faith, a compromised life, or a distance in that relationship with the Lord. Remember, Jesus said we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's first. And then our neighbor as ourself. But everything within us, all within us, love the Lord. He's first. And if we love those that are closest to us, family members, and the Lord, we're not worthy of the Lord. That's what he says. If we put our hand to the plow and follow Jesus, we look back and we envy or we want the things of the world, says we can't be his disciple. He needs to be number one. Now, one of the things that we're finding in this is that tradition dies hard. It dies very hard. And it can hinder the work of the Spirit. It can do great damage to the work of God's Spirit. The Jewish, Judaizers that were there, because a lot of them followed Paul around and just kind of messed up the salvation by grace message that Paul was preaching. But these Jewish believers, they were clinging to their practices of old, those things that they learned from a childhood. You see, traditions. And it's hard to break away from the past. It's hard to do that. And it's not so much that it's bad. I mean, we celebrate Christmas, don't we? You know, we say, well, Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, although December most likely was not the time of the birth of Christ, but that is pretty much a tradition. But we don't worship the Christmas tree. We don't worship that. But it's kind of a holiday that reminds us. Well, that would be fine if this was only a reminder for them, but they were putting themselves under the law and they felt like salvation. Yes, Jesus, but you also need to keep the law. And so that was the complaint that they were doing. One of the things that happened here was that tradition was broken big time in 70 AD when Titus the Roman came in and sacked the city and tore down the temple. No longer did they have that tradition. You see, Paul's greatest opponents when he preached were not just the Jews that followed him around that didn't like the message, but primarily the Judaizers. They were the ones that were kind of half into believing in Jesus and then also the law, half and half. And so they went in and they would disrupted what Paul would preach. And so that's probably what we're seeing here in Jerusalem. So zealous for the law, the Judaizers were, that they made it a condition for salvation, which was completely opposite of who Paul was and what he preached. And so notice in verse 21, and this is inaccurate, what they're spreading or what they're saying. And they have been told about you, Paul. I mean, we're hearing all about you, that you are teaching all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children, nor to walk according to the customs. So that was false. That was inaccurate. It was an inaccurate rumor. You know how rumors go, where you tell a little bit of something that might not be exactly what Paul was teaching, and then it expands and it explodes, takes on a life of its own, and it turns into what is false. And that's what they were now hearing. And basically, it was character assassination. Paul wasn't saying that. Paul wasn't telling you to apostatize on Judaism. He was just saying that that's not going to bring salvation, is all he was saying. The Bible says, by presumption comes nothing but strife. If you're presuming certain things, then all of a sudden, in your mind, you invent stuff. And a lot of strife takes place. So whenever in the body of Christ you start vain imagining, you're going to find that there's going to be a lot of striving with brothers and sisters, striving with in the church. You see, it wasn't what Paul was teaching, but what Paul was teaching is salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, period. You don't add to that. That is it. But you see, the law of Moses and circumcision and rituals and customs of washing were not necessary for salvation. That's all he was teaching. He didn't say, don't circumcise your children. You see, it would be good, it would be smart for them to continue to circumcise their children. because these Jewish Christians needed to meet to reach their unsaved Jewish friends. And if they didn't perform the ritual of circumcision on their children, they wouldn't have a chance to speak to other Jews who are not saved. Even Paul circumcised Timothy when he took him into different areas where there were Jews, so it wouldn't stumble them. And so it was just, you know, common sense. It would just be the right thing to do. He wasn't teaching against it, but basically it's like circumcision is not going to make you a child of God. Not at all. And so that's all he was saying. You see, the Judaizers, they kept repeating these lies over and over, were Paul's greatest adversaries, telling Jews that, oh, you need to apostatize Judaism. That was a lie, not true. You see, Paul did, he did encourage the Jews when he spoke to them in the synagogues. He did encourage them to forsake false ways where they think they're going to be saved by those false ways or by certain teachings that you can attain a righteous standing before God by keeping laws and ceremonies and rituals. That won't do it. And that's all he was saying. I like what Matthew Henry says concerning this portion of Scripture. He says, this was a great weakness and mistake to be so fond of shadows when the substance has come to keep their necks under a yoke of bondage when Christ had come to make them free. So pretty critical of that. Even today, there's out there what is called the Hebrew roots movement. It's not just Jews who've converted to Christians keeping the Jewish holidays that relate to Jesus Christ and relating them to Jesus Christ. My son Bud and Karen, they do that with the Feast of Lights and others, but they relate it to Jesus Christ. The Hebrew Roots movement, they want to put Christians under the bondage of the Old Testament covenant law. Those in the Hebrew Roots movement argue that Christianity has strayed way too far from its Jewish roots. The Hebrew Roots movement is not just about the Jewish holidays. The ultimate goal of many in the movement is to put Christians under the bondage of the Old Covenant law with strict adherence to all the commandments other than the sacrificial system.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 21, titled Accommodation. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 21. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.